Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon for this celebration of our Lord's ascension is based on Luke's two accounts of Jesus' ascension, from Acts chapter 1 and also from Luke chapter 24. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, you'll find those on page 7 in your worship folder. I'm guessing that most of you have already used what are known as freestyle soda dispensing machines that are often found in fast casual restaurants. If you've used those before, maybe you remember the first time or two that was kind of intimidating. There was that big touch screen and you had all these choices to choose from, and there were different mixtures that you could make in order to have just the beverage that you wanted at the end, or at least that's the idea. Well, whenever I use one of those so-called freestyle machines, I think way back to when I was in college. During my college years in the summertime, I worked in a factory, and that factory had a Vendo cup soda dispensing machine. Maybe some of you remember back in those days. Maybe it was a precursor to the freestyle, but maybe not. The way it worked was you took out your change and you put the change in the slot. You picked one of 8 selections. That's all you had to choose from. After that, a cup dropped down, most of the time. That was one of the problems. And then after the cup dropped down, a little pause would take place, and then the ice would plop down in the cup. And then a little after that, the carbonated water and the flavored syrup would be dispensed into the cup. The sequence of actions was very important. If one thing was out of sequence, like occasionally when the cup did not drop down first, well, things didn't go so well. Because the ice still plopped down, and the carbonated water and the flavored syrup still was dispensed, but to no good purpose, because it just went wherever. The sequence of events was essential. The sequence of events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension is also very important. Jesus, who died and on the third day rose again and then spent 40 days going around bearing witness that he was alive and had conquered death for us, and then gathering his disciples and ascending in glory. And then, of course, we know that just 10 days later came the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the first Christian Pentecost. And the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended also contain an important sequence. I find it very interesting that Jesus' instruction to his disciples at this point is, wait. I would expect that Jesus would have said to them at this climactic moment, as he prepares to ascend in glory to his Father, go. And indeed, he also did say that. But in both ascension accounts that Luke records for us, Jesus' message to his disciples is, wait. Luke writes these words of Jesus, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And Luke also writes, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Of course, we know the rest of the story. We know that they went to Jerusalem and they waited, and 10 days later, that power from on high was bestowed on them as God the Holy Spirit was poured out in a powerful way, and they proclaimed the good news of the risen Christ to thousands and thousands of people in Jerusalem. Well, this sequence, wait, then go, got me to thinking. What value might waiting have for us. Why might we wait first before going? One reason is that waiting provides a time for prayer and for discernment. The pattern we see in the early church is wait, pray, reflect, ponder, seek to discern God's will, and then go. I wonder how many times you and I have forgotten that important step of allowing time, time for prayer and for discernment. We are impatient people. We want action and results now, and sometimes we want action, any action, instead of waiting and seeking and discerning the will and the leading of God. As it is sometimes put, do we ask God to bless what we are doing, or do we ask God to help us see and then do what He is already blessing? Those two things are vastly different in perspective. Waiting first lends itself to a time for being open to God's timing. Again, we see this as a pattern in the early Christian church. Paul, for example, on his mission journeys, where we're told that Paul, guided by the Spirit, goes over here and not over here, even though his original plan was different, because God's timing was different. What is God's timing? Maybe God's answer to us at times is not right now or not yet. Are we open to hearing that answer? Are we open to accepting that answer? Can we discern God's timing? Or are we bent on making it happen no matter what it takes on our timing? Waiting first provides the opportunity and a time to receive God's power. When Jesus commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, it was a very purposeful waiting. Purposeful so that they would receive that wonderful gift of the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they would be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus risen and ascended in languages of all sorts of different people gathered in Jerusalem that day. They were able to proclaim that gospel message and to change hearts and to change lives by God's power. Do we recognize the absolute need for God's power? That none of this, that none of our efforts, that none of our ministries at Trinity amount to anything apart from the power of God. I really like how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, where he writes, "I planted, Apollos watered, God made it grow." God made it grow. There it is, that absolute total dependence on the power of God. Let's recommit ourselves again this very day to looking to God and to His power to accomplish all things in us and through us as we live as followers of Jesus. But don't get the wrong idea as you hear all of this talk about waiting. Of course, Jesus also said, go. Go starting right where you are. For the disciples, this going to make disciples started right where they were in Jerusalem as they were obediently waiting for Jesus' promise to be fulfilled and the Holy Spirit to be poured out on them. And so Jesus told them in advance that they would proclaim his name and his message beginning in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus said, "It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You, of course, are also familiar with Jesus' words at the end of Matthew's gospel, as often translated, "Go and make disciples of all nations." A better translation, "As you are going, make disciples of all nations." As you are going about your daily life, as you are going with your family, with your neighbors, at your workplace, in your community, as you are going, Jesus goes with you. As you are going, let others know of Jesus' love and forgiveness. Let others know that message of repentance and forgiveness in Jesus' name. The Lord of the church, who has been given all authority, gives us our mission. Wait, reflect, pray, discern. Look to God's timing. Rely on God's power. Then go. Go in Jesus' name. Go with God's power. Share the love of Jesus with those around you. Let others see Jesus in you and through you. And as I like to put it, repeat this sequence, this pattern, as needed. Wait, then go, then wait again, then go again, as God directs and as God's timing dictates. Best of all, as I mentioned in the children's message a few minutes ago, those two wonderful promises associated with ascension are true for you and for me. Jesus said to his disciples then, "Surely I am with you always," and he says that again to you and me today. As we go forth in Jesus' name to wait and then to go, Jesus goes with us, for he has promised that it is so. Equally true is the promise that he will return so that we may live with him forever. As we expectantly look to Christ's return one day in glory, wait, then go. Go in Jesus' name, even as Jesus goes with you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. Please stand. We continue with the ascension response. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Alleluia. We join now in confessing our common Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We join together in singing our hymn of the day. Please be seated.